So we are seeing how Datta Bodha started with qualifications required for Jnanam. Then we covered also the nature of the Atma, which is Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha also we had. Means enquiry into the essential nature of individual. What every individual being is. This analysis of an individual or enquiry into the nature of, essential nature of individual is actually for understanding one's own real nature. One's own real nature means understanding the very content of the expression I. What I am, what I is. And we understood, we distinguished. It's called distinguished method of distinguishing the knower from the known. Drip Drishya Viveka Prakriya. This methodology is used here. This methodology is inbuilt in the very text. We understood how Atma is distinct from everything. Atma is not distant. When you say Atma is not distant from anything, it also implies another fact. Nothing is different from Atma. Nothing in the world is different from Atma. It means, but Atma is distinct from everything. That's why even if you say Atma, I am not the body, when you say, you must be able to say the body is non-different from me. That also must be very clear. Therefore, we saw here how the Atma distinguished the, how the truth is distinguished. The truth obtaining as the essential nature of the individual, how it can be distinguished and arrived at. This methodology is the only way. We have to distinguish the knower from the known. Subject-object analysis. So, through this analysis. So, first we saw what Atma is not. The reality obtaining as the innermost self, essential nature of an individual is implied by the term Atma. We have to understand that Atma. And what Atma is not is first taught. So, sthula sukshma karna sharirad vitiriktaha avastatre sakshi panchakosha atitaha san yastishtati sachidananda swarupaha. Now, we negated what Atma is not is very clear. Even the mind is an Atma. But what is Atma now? We saw in last class, we saw Sat Kim, Sachidananda Swarupaha. That we saw the meaning of Sat last class. Then Chit Kim, we also saw Jnana Swarupaha. Then Anandaha Kaha, Sukhas Swarupaha. Evam Sachidananda Swarupam Swa Atmanam Vijaniyat. So now, because we saw what is Atma, I told you the reality, Vastu, the reality, the truth of the whole cosmos, truth of the living beings and non-living things, truth of mobile beings and immobile beings, the truth of the entire universe is the most abstract, subtlest substance, and no word can reveal Atma. No word can reveal. Which means Atma can never be the reality implied by the term Atma. The reality obtaining as the content of I can never be the immediate meaning of any word. But what about these expressions, Sat, Chit and all that? Sat, Chit, Anandaha. These three words are introduced here first. These three expressions reveal the Atma, not directly, but reveal the Atma through implication by negation. Every word negates what Atma is not. By negating what Atma is not, and a word reveals the Atma in terms of its nature. For example, when you say the word sat, we saw the definition of the word sat last class. Do you remember? What is sat? We saw. Kalatrayepi tishtati iti sat. That which remains in all three periods of time is sat. Means sat is that which does not have a beginning, does not have an end, doesn't undergo any changes. It means that doesn't have any, that does not have dependent existence. That which is of the nature of self-existence is sat. And what is that sat? The reality, nature of reality is existence. Pure existence is the nature of reality. And how are you going to understand what pure existence is? Existence has no beginning. Existence has no end. Existence is of the nature of independent. What is it existence? Sat. So we saw, for which we have to arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing first. When you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, and the reality is implied by the term chit. Chit means consciousness. Chaitanyam, chit, chitihi. All three words means consciousness, pure awareness. We arrive at the formless, abstract reality only in terms of its nature of knowing and obtaining as the very truth of the knower, subject of knowledge. When you negate everything as the known, known, you negate until the mind also. Even the knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining the form of thought, is negated as non-self. So what is that which is there? Knowing, experiencing in all three states of experience. In waking state, there is the very proof that experience is possible, there is an experiencer. This experiencer in dream state, because of which dream experience is possible. Deep sleep state also is a state of mind, which is a state of experience. When there is a state of experience, experienced, then there must be an experiencer. How can there be experience without the experiencer? And when we analyze this, who is that experiencer? Knower. The states of mind are changing, but the unchanging experiencer, knower, the subject of experience, who it is? If we analyze, really, experiencer is only, the word experience does not have any tangible, gross form. Experiencer does not really mean any tangible, gross form. Experiencer will lead you to stumble upon the formless, abstract, subtlest substance, vastu. It is formless. And you only arrive at it in terms of its nature of knowing. So there's no experiencer other than the reality. And that reality is implied by the term jnanam, chit, chaitanyam, or chit. Therefore, I am the knower. The knower is consciousness. Therefore, I, the knower, am consciousness. The knower is only a status, qualification, attributed to the consciousness from the standpoint of the experience, the state of mind. Okay? A minus state of experience, consciousness, yes, doesn't have even the knower status. It's only temporary status, attributed. Therefore, we arrive at the reality obtaining as the very essential nature of, or the truth of, I, the knower. This is chit. It is this consciousness which is the existence, sat, which is beginningless, endless, changeless reality. Therefore, it is implied by the term also anantam. And here one more word we say, anandaha. Anandaha actually means happiness. We say happiness is the nature of reality. So consciousness is of the nature of existence. This consciousness, the reality which is of the nature of consciousness, is also of the nature of happiness. How can you understand that? Actually, happiness is an expression implied by another word, limitlessness or fullness. These three words are synonyms like fullness, limitlessness and happiness. How can we understand being, what is unhappiness? If you understand what is unhappiness, unhappiness or sorrow is nothing but bondage. Bondage is sorrow. Bondage is unhappiness. What is bondage? Being bound is bondage. What being bound means what? Being bound means being limited. So being limited is being bound. Being bound is bondage and bondage is unhappiness. So therefore being limited is being unhappy, being limited or being inadequate, being limited, being inadequate is being unhappy. Therefore, being full is being limitless and being limitless is being free and being free is being happy. Being full is being limitless. Being limitless is being free. Being free is being happy. You convert this expression to noun. So being full is equal to fullness. Being limitless is limitlessness. And being free is freedom. But being happy is happiness. Therefore, limitlessness is of the nature of reality, Atma. Therefore, happiness is synonym of limitlessness is happiness. Therefore, happiness is the swarupma of the Atma. Actually, you are happiness. You are conscious. If you really shift cognitively the I sense from the body, understanding the body as a bhoga ayatanam, as an abode of enjoyment, which you distinguish the, take, shift the I sense from bhoga ayatanam, body, an abode of enjoyment. Then you shift the I sense from the instruments of enjoyment, bhoga sadhanani, all subtle aspects, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, all the antakana, mind, intellect, everything. And finally, you cannot place your I sense on any of the anatma aspects. How can you place I sense anatma aspects? Because already you have cognitively, intellectually shifted the I sense. And now where should this I sense be resolved? What is the meaning of the word I? What is the content of I? It is like asking, what is the content of this form, name and function called a wave? What is the content? Where can the wave form can be resolved? Similarly, this I sense obtaining in the form of a thought, where can I thought be resolved? There's no content of I thought other than consciousness. Therefore, if you say I is consciousness, I is limitlessness, I is, you know, existence. So this I, the self, am of the nature of consciousness, existence and limitlessness. This we will again analyze. But now understand this much here. So here it is said, this Atma, what is Atma? The abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore implied by the term Atma. And this Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma, is available for recognition as the very truth of the subject of knowledge, the knower. Therefore you arrive at it as the content of I. Then you can say Atma is of the nature of existence, consciousness and limitlessness. Satchidananda Surupaha San Yastishtati Sa Atma. Now you arrived at the Atma also. Next. Therefore, Anandaha Kaha means Sukhaswarupaha. Now read that word now. Anandaha Kaha. Anandaha Kaha. Hey, what is Anandaha? What is happiness? Say, happiness is Anandaha Kaha. It is Sukhaswarupaha. Sukhaswarupaha means that which is of the nature of fullness, happiness, limitlessness. Again, I can explain to you. Being free from both pain and pleasure is being happy. One more explanation. What is happiness if you ask? Being free from both pain and pleasure is being happy. So that which is devoid of pairs of opposites is of the nature of happiness. When I explained to you what is bliss in deep sleep state, I told the same thing, isn't it? Experience of absence of pairs of opposites is experience of bliss. But here, happiness is not bliss. Bliss is happiness, but happiness is not bliss. Any sukham, any fraction of pleasure, any bliss, etc., are all fractions of fullness, happiness. Therefore, so Ananda Swarupaha Kaha means that which is of the nature of fullness is Ananda Swarupaha. I can tell you, being full is the nature of the reality. Why? Because it is the subtlest. There is nothing which is subtler than the reality. The subtlest of everything that is here is reality. How subtle it is? Because it is in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure existence. And being the subtlest, it is the most pervasive. It is all pervasive. I told you even earlier, when you say space is all pervasive, relatively all pervasive, everything else, all other elements and the elementals, everything exists in space. Space is all accommodative, all pervasive. But here, space itself is an object of knowledge. Therefore, space is in consciousness. Consciousness pervades even space and time. Where consciousness is the most pervasive, all pervasive. Absolutely all pervasive is consciousness. Because being all pervasive is its nature. All pervasiveness is the swarupam of the reality. Because being all pervasive is the nature of reality, it fills everything. Like how water, the truth, fills the entire ocean. Why does water fill the ocean? Because filling is not an action, it's the very nature. Any cause fills the effect. You see a furniture, the wood being the cause, it fills the form, name and function called furniture. The cause fills. Cause means cause fills the effect. But that which is dependent is filled by that which is depended upon. Dependent on. Therefore, the most abstract, subtlest vastu happens to be the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness. There's nothing subtler than consciousness, and consciousness happens to be the absolute reality. It pervades everything. It fills everything. So being full, being pervasive is the nature. Therefore, full, being full is equal to fullness. And fullness is happiness. Being full is being happy. Why? Because being full is being limitless. And being not being full means what? Being inadequate is being unhappy. Therefore, fullness is equal to happiness. And Atma is of the nature of happiness. Is it clear? Now, Atma Ananda Swarupaha Sukha Swarupaha. Now, we move on to the next sentence. Evam Sachidananda Swarupam Swa Atmanam Vijaniyat. Now, you must be convinced by now. You're not simply understanding Atma is of the nature of happiness, fullness, existence. No. Now, the word Atma must be replaced by the first person singular pronoun, I. I am Atma. Your I, the self, am of the nature of happiness, fullness, consciousness, existence. I am consciousness, existence, fullness. Implied by the term Atma. I am Atma. Now, evam, see the sentence now, evam, in this manner, Sachidananda Swarupam, Sachidananda Swarupam, Swatmanam Vijaniyat, Vijaniyat is Ling, may one know, one should know, one must know. Potential mood. Vijaniyat is potential mood expression. It means one must know, one should know, may one know. Okay, ling. It is ling. We are going to learn Sanskrit class. So, vijaniyat. How? Whom should we know? Whom should we find, discover? It is swatmanam, swatmanam, one's own self. You don't need to go and search for the Atma anywhere. This is how one has to, one must, one should discover, know one's own self. So Atman, one's own self means the reality obtaining as the innermost self of every being is Atma. It means it's called Pratyagatma. Pratyagatma means what? Attaining as individual self, one's own self. So Atmanam Vijaniyat. And who, what is that? How should you discover? One has to discover one's own self, obtaining in the form of existence, consciousness, and limitlessness. In this manner. Which means what? There is no other way. Evam is very important expression. Evam, the indeclinable word, evam, which means in this manner, is very important word. You know why? This is the way. There is no other way of stumbling upon your own swarupam. Evam, how beautiful the word says, evam, in this manner. In this manner, this is the only way you can arrive at the nature of reality, obtaining as one's own self. If you want to know the Atma reality implied by the term Atma as the truth of something else, you will be an utter failure. Even though reality is only reality, only self of all the beings, only truth of everything. Even though reality is the only reality of everything, only truth of everything, Atma is one, still you cannot arrive at the reality, you know, as the truth of anything else. How to arrive at it, if you ask, that's why the evam is important word. In this manner alone, one can understand reality implied by the term Atma in terms of its nature of consciousness, existence, and fullness, obtaining as the immediate self, innermost self, innermost essential nature of individual I. Is it clear? The devam is very important. Which means don't ever waste your time searching for an Atma as an object. That evam indicates never ever waste your time searching for an Atma as an object. very subtle teaching. You know, here it is made, the evam. So you can save all your time. Don't need to waste your time searching for it somewhere outside as an object. Why? Sometimes the truth is one. Reality is one. Only reality of everything. It means reality must be there everywhere. In everywhere. Why can't I try to know some through something else? Why not I search and search and search, penetrate into something and something and something and something and something? Why can't I try to find the reality there? Because reality is the reality of everything. The same truth of everything. Only truth. Atma is only truth of everything. Why can't I penetrate into something else and find out? No. If you want to penetrate, probe into something, pierce into something, and find out what Atma is, there you are trying to find out something which is other than yourself. When you try to find something which is other than yourself, it becomes an object of your knowledge. Then you are not arriving at the Atma. So here the absolute reality, the only reality of everything implied by the term Atma has to be understood only in terms of its nature, obtaining as the truth of I as one's own essential nature. This is how Atma can be arrived at as the sorupam of the knower, not subject, not as an object. If you try, you will be an utter failure and will be disappointed highly. Okay. Evam, in this manner, so atachidananda sarupam, so atmanam vijaniyat. May one understand Atma in this manner, obtaining in the form of consciousness, existence, limitlessness. Okay. Is it clear? Can you go on next line? Nod your heads. Okay. Now. Here ends the Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha. Here ends the analysis of the essential nature of an individual or enquiry into the nature of one's own self. Atma Swarupa Vicharaha, otherwise called Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha, Jeeva Swarupa Vicharaha, ends here. Now. Entering into the enquiry into the nature of essential nature of the total Ishvara Swarupa Vicharaha. Enquiry into the essential nature of the cosmos, the total universe, macrocosmic being is otherwise said to be enquiry into the essential nature of Ishvara. Why? Because the whole universe is looked upon as Ishvara. Okay, reality, knowledge manifest is Ishvara, and the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the total universe is looked upon as Ishvara. Therefore, enquiry into the essential nature of an individual, into the nature of the macrocosmic being, the total cosmos, is actually enquiry into the essential nature of Ishvara. You can say samashti swarupa vicharaha or samashti swarupa vicharaha or Ishvara swarupa vicharaha is the next topic we are entering into now. Atha. Atha. Chaturvimshati. Are you all reading after me? Chaturvimshati. Tattva utpatti prakaram. Utpatti prakaram. Tattva utpatti prakaram. Tattva utpatti prakaram. Vakshyamaha. Atha. Chaturvimshati. Tattvotpatti prakaram vakshyamaha. Atha chaturvimshati tattva utpatti prakaram vakshyamaha. I'm reading again. Atha சதுர்விம்சதி தத்துவ உற்பத்தி பிரகாரம் வக்ஷ்யாமஹ. அத நௌ தென், தென் மீன்ஸ் வாட், அத தென் ஆஃப்டர் ஹேவிங் அனலைஸ்ட் தரலி தி எசென்ஷியல் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் த இண்டிவிஜுவல், ஹேவிங் அரைவ்ட் அட் தி கண்டென்ட் ஆஃப் ஐ இம்ப்ளைபிலிட்டி ஆத்மா, நௌ வி ஆர் ப்ரொசீடிங் டுவர்ட்ஸ் தி அனாலிசிஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஹோல் ஈஸ்வர. தேர்ஃபோர் அத அண்ட் தத்துவ சதுர்விம்சதி, சத்துர் மீன்ஸ் ஃபோர், விம்சதி ட்வெண்ட்டி, சதுர்விம்சதி ட்வெண்ட்டி ஃபோர். ஹோப் சம்ஸ்கிருத ஸ்டூடெண்ட்ஸ் ரிமெம்பர் திஸ். விம்சதி, ஏகவிம்சதி, த்வாவிம்சதி, த்ரயோவிம்சதி, சதுர்விம்சதி ட்வெண்ட்டி ஃபோர். டி ரிமெம்பர் ஒன்ஸ் அப்பான் அ டைம் வி ஹேட் திஸ் த கிளாஸ் இன் த கிளாஸ் சதுர்விம்சதி ட்வெண்ட்டி ஃபோர். எஸ், சதுர்விம்சதி ட்வெண்ட்டி ஃபோர் அண்ட் சதுர்விம்சதி விசர்கா கெட்ஸ் டிராப்ட். சோ சதுர்விம்சதி தத்துவ மீன்ஸ் தத்துவம் மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் ட்ரூத், பட் இன் திஸ் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் பிரின்சிபிள், த ட்வெண்ட்டி ஃபோர் பிரின்சிபிள்ஸ், ட்வெண்ட்டி ஃபோர் தத்துவானி, சதுர்விம்சதி தத்துவானி சந்தி. கதி தத்துவானி சந்தி, ஹவு மெனி பிரின்சிபிள்ஸ் ஆர் தேர், ஹவு மெனி தத்துவானி சந்தி, சதுர்விம்சதி தத்துவானி சந்தி. சதுர்விம்சதி தத்துவ உற்பத்தி பிரகாரம், உற்பத்தி மீன்ஸ் ப்ரொடக்ஷன், கிரியேஷன், ஒரிஜினேஷன். உற்பத்தி இஸ் அ இகாராந்த ஸ்திரீலிங்க உற்பத்தி சப்த. In nominative case, utpattihi, it is a feminine gender noun. Utpattihi means creation, origination, production. So, 24, tattva utpattihi means what? Creation of 24 tattvas. Creation of 24 tattvas. ஆர் ஒரிஜினேஷன் ஆஃப் 24 தத்வாஸ் இஸ் தத்துவ உற்பத்தி. அண்ட் பிரகாரஹ மீன்ஸ் மெத்தட். வக்ஷ்யாமஹ வி ஷல் எக்ஸ்பிளைன், வக்ஷ்யாமஹ வி ஷல் ஸ்பீக், வி ஷல் எக்ஸ்பிளைன் ஃபியூச்சர் டென்ஸ் வெர்ப். வக்ஷ்யாமஹ, வக்ஷ்யாமஹ வி ஷல் ஸ்பீக், we shall explain, we shall expound, what we shall expound, the the method of the mode of understanding the 24 principle tattva tattvani. So what are those 24 tattvas? We have to see. Now before we going into, now the time being, relax, okay, that one sentence, leave it. We are going to understand 24 tattvani. Let us use the English, Sanskrit term tattvam as tattvam, time being, okay, until I get you the right English word. Now why I'm saying, I want you to remember this word tattvam, time being. So 24 tattvas are there. Now to understand tattvas, now we are going to see first, it begins now. See next sentence now. We'll come back to the sentence again afterwards. Let us move on to the next verse. Next sentence. Brahmashraya. Brahmashraya. Sattva rajastamo gunatmika. Sattva rajastamo gunatmika. சத்வ ரஜஸ் தமோ குணாத்மிகா மாயாஸ்தி ப்ரஹ்மாஶ்ரயா சத்வ ரஜஸ் தமோ குணாத்மிகா Mayasti. I'm sure you're all able to read well now. Now what is it first now? See the first sentence now. Brahmashraya. You break that word Brahmashraya. Brahmanaha Ashraya. Brahmanaha Ashraya means abiding in Brahman. Dependent on Brahman. Inseparable from Brahman. It's all meanings of Brahma Ashraya. Abiding in Brahman. Dependent on Brahman. Inseparable from Brahman is Brahma Ashraya. Who is that which is dependent on Brahman, independent from Brahman, abiding in Brahman? Is a something belonging to Brahman. Who is that? What is that? Sattva Rajo, Rajas Tamo Gunatmika. See, that which is dependent on Brahman, belonging to Brahman, abiding in Brahman is of the nature of three gunas, is of three constituents, sattvam, rajas and tamas. Sattvam, rajas and tamas are names of three gunas. Three gunas mean three constituents. What are these three gunas? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. These three gunas are gunas which constitute maya. So maya asti. Maya asti. Maya asti, maya asti. There is maya. There is maya consisting of three gunas. In terms of Atmajas and Tamas, obtaining as the inseparable power of Brahman. When I say Brahma Ashraya means that which exists depending on Brahman. What is that which exists depending on Brahman? Power of Brahman. What is Brahman again? Reality. This absolute reality, the only truth of everything, implied by the term Atma, is also implied by another term, Brahma. We have to know every word here. The same reality implied by the term Atma is also implied by another term, Brahma. Okay, now Brahman is equal to absolute reality. What is reality? All you arrived at as what? Consciousness, existence, happiness. The reality which is of the nature of consciousness, existence and fullness, arrived at, understood as the truth of knower I, that same reality is implied by another term, Brahman, from the standpoint of the universe. The same reality looked at as the reality of the whole is given another term, Brahma. Under the name Brahma. Okay. And this Brahma reality is endowed with the power. The power is what? Inseparable. Just as heat is inseparable from fire, light is inseparable from sun, this power is also inseparable from reality. Okay, the inseparability alone is meant by the word Ashraya. Ushnasya Ashrayaha Agnihi. Ushna Ashrayaha Agnihi. What does it mean? The locus of the heat is fire. Locus inseparable. So here Brahma Ashraya, this power of reality, inseparable from the reality, inseparable dependent power of reality implied with term Brahman, the reality is Brahman. And he is endowed with the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, is known by the term Maya. First, what is introduced here? Maya is introduced. What is Maya? Maya is a name, a term used to mean the power of reality. Power of reality inseparable from reality. The power of reality inseparable from reality is Maya. Which means we don't need to go and search for Maya somewhere. Maya is just the word used to mean the reality, power of reality. Power of reality is Maya. And what is reality? Reality is implied by the term Brahma. So Brahma Ashraya means Shaktihi. Maya is a Shaktihi. Shaktihi is power. Power of what? Power of reality implied by the term Brahma. And this power does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is said to be dependent, the power of reality, which does not have independent existence of its own, which is dependent on reality for its existence, is said to be Brahmashraya Maya. And this Brahma's power of reality is Maya. So Brahma Shaktihi is Brahmashraya Maya. Power of reality is said to be Brahmashraya. It is known by the term Maya. And this power is consists of three powers, three gunas. What are three gunas? Three gunas are three names. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha are three different names attributed to the manifest expressions of threefold powers. The only power of reality, only power of Brahman manifest as threefold powers. Maya is the name of the only power of reality. And the only power of reality is capable of manifesting as threefold powers. The power of knowing, power of desiring, power of activity. The capacity to know, capacity to desire, capacity to act. Three shaktis, we call them three shaktis. Jnana shaktihi, capacity to know. Ichcha shaktihi, the capacity to desire. Desire. And the capacity to do is kriya shaktihi. Jnana shaktihi, ichcha shaktihi, then kriya shaktihi. Jnana shaktihi, ichcha shaktihi, kriya shaktihi. Now we finished with Atma, okay? Now we begin to analyze the total cosmos. And for which, first we are introduced to the power of reality. And the power of reality is implied by the term Maya. Maya asti. There is a power. What power? Inexplicable power. Inexplicable power. And this power belongs to whom? The power cannot exist independently by itself. It cannot hang around by itself, dance by itself. The power is of the reality. What is that reality? That reality is implied by the term Brahma. The power of power, there is power, absolute power. Absolute power is there. And this power is power of reality implied by the term Brahma. Brahmashraya Shaktihi. And this power is known by the term Maya. Brahmashraya Shaktihi Maya Asti. And this power alone can express itself in three different forms. The only power of reality known by the term Maya expresses itself in three different forms. As the power of knowing, as the power of desiring, and the power of activity. The powers expressed are given three different names. The power of knowing manifest is called Sattva Gunaha. Power of desiring manifest is called Rajogunaha. Power of activity manifest is called Kriyashakti. Kriyashakti, threefold powers. And here we have to understand one more thing. There is Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti also. There's a power of inertia. The power of inertia. Okay? Power of inertia. Later on, these three powers alone manifest as three other powers which are given three different names. Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha are three different names attributed to the manifestations of threefold expressions of the only power. Just know this much now. Jnana Kriya Shakti, Iccha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Iccha Shakti. Three names, three powers expressed, three powers manifest as are given three different names. Hatta Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. Now, so here, this Maya is endowed with, now understand this much. Reality, power of reality is Maya. Reality is known by the term Brahman. This power does not have independent existence outside of Brahman. This alone is endowed with three gunas. Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. These gunas are nothing but names given to expressions of threefold powers, of only power. The only power expressed in three different forms, please remember very carefully, the only power expressed in three different forms are given, is given three different names, Hatta Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha and Tamo Gunaha. We'll understand more about gunas later on. Now, we have to understand here, why reality is known by the term Brahma. We are not going on to the next line today. Okay, we'll suck here in the first line. I have to go one by one. Why power is called Maya? Why three gunas? What are the three gunas? What are the three powers? So much, this one sentence is packed with lots of information. We can't move on to the next sentence now. We have to start from Brahman again. Now, so Brahmanaha Ashraya. Ashraya means that which is dependent on Brahma. Like what? See, the power of burning is dependent on its source called fire. Fire is powerful. Fire is endowed with the power of burning. Therefore, the source of the power of burning is fire. The burning power does not have independent existence outside of the fire. The power of illumining is, for the power of illumining, the source is the sun. Sun is powerful. Sun is endowed with the power of illumining. Fire is powerful. Fire is endowed with the power of burning. And the source of the power of burning is fire. The source of the power of illumining is sun, which means the power is something which does not, which so the power is something which exists, but at the same time it does not have independent existence. And here we are talking about the absolute power. There's no absolute power other than the reality. You know that the power of reality which is inseparable from reality, for which the source is the very reality, is Brahmanaha Ashraya. And the source of the power, the source of the power implied by the, meant by the word Maya, is what? The source of the power is Brahma. Brahman is powerful. When Brahman is looked upon as the powerful reality, Brahman gets the status of being Ishvara. Whenever you look at reality as the one endowed with the power, then you can say the ruler of the universe is reality, Ishvara. So Ishvara is a status attributed to the reality. When reality is understood to be endowed with this power. Okay. Now we are understanding Brahman alone gets the name Ishvara. Status. Brahman is given a new status, Ishvara status. Now, why reality is implied with the term Brahma? If you see the word, it has come from the root Brahmh. Let us start from the word Brahma, then I'll make it very clear. Don't worry. Brahma. Brahmati. Brahmati means grows big. Brihat means big. Root is Brahmh, Brahmati, which means which grows big, and Brahma means big, and Brihat means big, and Brihat Tamatvat Brahma. And reality is the biggest. You ask me how big is the reality? Why reality is implied by the term Brahma? Because reality is implied by the term Brahma because of its nature of bigness. Due to its bigness, it is implied by the term Brahma. Oh, that which is big is Brahma. Now the question comes, big is an adjective. How big is the reality? How big it is? Because when you say reality of the whole, there's nothing which is comparable to the reality. Therefore, reality is one. Therefore, there's no nothing can be compared with reality. Therefore, reality is incomparably big. Incomparably big. So, big is big. Therefore, it is Brahma. How big it is? Incomparably big. It is incomparably big. How incomparably big it is. Limitlessly big. Limitlessly big means how limitlessly big? We say time wise limitless, spatially limitless, object wise also limitless. And this I need to explain to you how reality is time wise limitless. How reality is spatially limitless. How reality is object-wise limitless. See, if I simply say reality is of the nature of limitlessness, reality is time-wise limitless, object-wise limitless, spatially limitless, therefore reality is implied with the term Brahma, if I say it is only simply words. It's only simply expressions. It doesn't convey anything. But Shastram has a methodology. It shows how reality is time-wise limitless. By way of explaining how the reality is time-wise limitless, it also confirms your understanding of what reality is. How reality is, what reality is, how abstract it is, how it is available for recognition, where it is available for recognition, and that reality is arrived at. How you understand how it is time-wise limitless, how it is spatially limitless, how it is object-wise limitless. Therefore, there's nothing which is bigger than, there's nothing which is as big as reality, and nothing which is as bigger than reality. When there's nothing which is as big as reality, means how can there be something which is bigger than reality? If nothing is as big as reality, how can there be something which is bigger than reality? Therefore, there's nothing which is bigger than reality. Means reality is the biggest, greatest. Therefore, implied by the term Brahma. So, Brahman also is the word Brahman here. Nakarantaha napumsakalingaha Brahman shabdaha. In nominative, Brahma. Not Brahman. Okay, nakarantaha napumsakalingaha Brahman shabdaha. The word Brahma. But this word Brahma is not an immediate reality, is not immediate meaning of the mean, immediate meaning of the word Brahma. The word Brahman also reveals reality by implication through negation in terms of its nature of bigness. Bigness means limitlessness. How it is limitless, that I'll explain to you next class. Okay? Because of short of time, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to do 1.5 hour class, this morning class. But this week, excuse me, next week, I will try to do 1.5 hour class. And we will give it a few minutes time to do the Sanskrit class. You want to ask any questions in between here? I know, I only introduced the word Brahma today. I went to teach you what Maya is, what power is. I want to introduce the words. What three gunas are, everything I'll explain to you. But I can give 5 minutes time to ask any questions. No questions?
Swamiji, this word Brahma Shreya, I'm just trying to understand the Sanskrit of it. Yeah. Why is it we saying the Ashraya is Brahma?
Let me tell you, compound word. Ashraya means abode, locus. See, Brahmanaha Ashraya. Brahma Ashrayaha Yasyaha. Yasyaha Shaktehe Ashrayam Ashrayaha Brahma. The power for which Ashrayaha is Brahma. The power for which the Ashrayaha is Brahma. That power is called Brahma Ashraya. Yasyaha Shaktehe Ashrayaha Brahma Sa Shaktihi Brahmashraya Shaktihi. Yasyaha Shaktehe Ashrayaha Brahma Sa Shaktihi Brahmashraya Shaktihi. Ashrayaha means the locus. Now, the source is called Ashraya. For example, see, for the power, where does the power exist? Can power exist independently? For example, the power of illumining power, can't exist independently without the sun. Sun is endowed with the power of illumining. Illumination is the power of sun. Can it exist independently? No. Which means, where, if it doesn't exist independently, where does it exist? What is the source of the power? The source of the power from which the power is inseparable is the Ashraya for the power. The source of the power from which the power is inseparable, without which the power cannot exist independently, that, okay, the source of power is the Ashraya for the power. Like a locus. Where is power located? Where does power exist? You say, Brahma is the Ashraya. Brahma is the Ashraya for power. So, the power for which Brahman is the Ashraya, that power is called Brahmashraya Shaktihi. Ashraya also means abode. Brahmashaya means that which is dependent on Brahma. That's why I gave it with put like this. Brahma yasyaha shaktehe Brahma ashayaha sa shakti Brahmashaya shaktihi. Brahmashaya means that which has Brahman as its source. The power which has Brahman as its source is called Brahmashaya Shaktihi. And what is that power which has Brahman as its source? Maya. And this Maya is also endowed with the threefold gunas in terms of Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. So what are those gunas? What is that power? How it is inseparable, etc. We'll see next class. Today you understood what the source of the power is, Brahman. Brahman is another expression which reveals reality in terms of its nature of bigness, limitlessness. That you know, but how reality is limitless, we have to understand that first. Then we can say, how that limitless reality is endowed with this power, amazing, inexplicable power, anirvachaniya shaktihi. So, we'll continue next class.
Thank you.
All right, no questions, no more questions. Tom, no questions. Oh, good. Okay. I know I have to explain a few more things. I think next week I'll be I'll be free of my commitments. I'm coming to do some classes here. Today I finished my one proper Bhashyam Upanishad class is over. And with that Bhashyam also I did some, me at Mula text alone I did some class also. I finished it today. And, let's see next class. Okay, I'll give 5 minutes time. See you soon. Okay, I'll give 5 minutes time for all of you to have a cup of tea to come back for Sanskrit class.
So, Swamini, how was the session today?
Yeah, I told them the same session I can do it in one. I can take 1 month. One can want to explain 1 week. But now today I had to finish it in one session. I told them. But they're very happy. They're happy. We're happy I come to conclude it. The teaching has been, of course, the teaching clarity has been given, so that's good.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to summary this afternoon. And also I'm doing, after this hour class, I'm going to go and do some chanting. Then evening I do the summary. And today I finish. And tomorrow I just have my time packing up. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.